Father, I just thank you, Lord, as always, for your presence in this house. And Lord, we just acknowledge that apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord, how much we need you in our lives. How much we need you, Lord, every day. Lord, in the big things, but also in the simple things of life, Lord, we just acknowledge that you are all in all. You're everything to us. And we pray, Father, that tonight that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to move on in the things of God, in the will of God, in all that you have for us this year. I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we start a new year, most of us are hoping, praying, believing for certain things. I hope that you are as a believer. Amen. I hope that there are some things that you are looking to God and expecting and at least dreaming. Hope that you have some goals, and I hope that you set those goals with the Lord in mind, that they're not just your ideas, but something that you really believe is God's plan and will in your life. But, you know, maybe you're believing the Lord for salvation of a loved one or of some neighbors or coworkers. You know, maybe you said this week, Lord, I wish they'd get saved, you know. Maybe you're believing God for a better job, or you're believing the Lord to bless your finances so that you can help support the spread of the gospel, do more for others. Well, no, I was just wanting it for me. Well, maybe you're believing God for a godly spouse. Some of you that are single, believe in God for a godly spouse. Some of you that are married, believe in God for a godly spouse, right? Maybe you're hoping to be used in a greater way in ministry. I don't know what you're believing God for and praying for this year, but whatever your goals, your dreams, your prayers, I want you to know that as you're praying and you are believing, you also need to be moving. You need to put some action to your faith. A lot of the time, we want God to move, and we are waiting on God. And in reality, God is waiting for us to move. From the very beginning of time, God has worked with man this way. In fact, Genesis 1:28, it says that God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth." From the very beginning, God gave man authority, and God told man to do certain things. He told him to subdue and rule over the earth and over the animal kingdom. Now, Genesis 2:19-20 tells us this: "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field." So the Lord made all of the animals, and then he brings them to Adam, and he says, "Okay, you name them." Why? I mean, did God just suddenly run out of creativity? He just couldn't come up with anything, and so he said, "Adam, help me out here." No, because God works with man. And he tells Adam, subdue the earth, rule over it. And then he tells him, name these animals. God could have done it himself. He could have just said, "Okay, Adam, this is a cow and this is a dog." But instead, he lets Adam name the animals. You see, God works with us. He works in harmony with us. You know, when you talk about harmony, I think of music, don't you? And listen, God is the one that wrote this music piece. So if we're going to work in harmony with God, that means we're going to do it His way. Amen. See, a lot of people get in trouble because they want God to bless their mess. And I got to tell you, we got to do it His way. And then He'll bless us. But a lot of people seem to think that God doesn't really care about the affairs of man. They think that we're just here on our own, and if God is up there, then He's way out there in the far yonder, and somehow we're just here to make the best of it on our own, and whatever it is, you know, it's whatever we make it. It's kind of that humanistic philosophy, but there's even some who call themselves believers that have that mentality and that attitude that there's not really any faith involved. It's just, you know, God's not responding to our prayers. It's just us struggling on and on our own, doing the best we can. And then there's another extreme, and there are some believers that fall into this deception where they think that God just works independently of man, that God is involved and God's working, but He's just going to do what He's going to do, and it doesn't matter what we do. Whether or not we pray, whether or not we believe, whether or not we obey or do anything, He's just going to do what He wants to do. And I want you to know this. I'm going to clarify several things tonight because this is one of those messages that, you know what, you can go off the deep end on either side of the road and you're in the ditch, all right? You got to stay in the truth, okay? And you take, you know, a lot of times people get in error because they take a truth and they go to an extreme. But I want you to understand, God does whatever He pleases. He is sovereign. The Bible tells us in Psalms 115 and verse 3 that our God is in heaven and He does whatever He pleases. But you need to know this, that it pleases God to work in the lives of His people when they believe. And our faith has to have action with it. Faith without works is dead. Now, we just finished a series on faith, and I did a message called Faith Obeys. It's so important that our faith is a living faith, that we are actually obeying God in what we do. And in a sense, this message, I guess, is a little bit of a continuation of that. But if we really believe, then we're going to take action. I want to remind you of some of the stories of faith, how Noah built an ark. He's believing for the saving of his family because there's a flood coming. I mean, some of you are thinking about building an ark right now, right? With all this, yeah. But listen, he did something. Because he believed, he did something. And we need to understand that, yes, God answers our prayers, and the things that you're believing God for, He cares about those things. But so often, there's action that we need to take. It's not action that we take apart from believing God. It's not that we just operate in the flesh like an unbeliever would, but we're believing God, and because we do believe God, we take action. You see, He does the supernatural part. We do the natural part. People get in error sometimes when they want God to do what they could do for themselves. People also get in error when they leave God out of the picture. Oh, we need to do what we know to do and then believe God for the part that we can't do. You know, talked about Abraham a lot lately because he's the father of faith, but his story is a story that will help bring a little bit of clarification to this message tonight because, listen, when God told him that he was going to give him an heir. He didn't say, now, Abraham, the Holy Spirit will overshadow Sarah and she's going to have a child. No, that's another story, right? No, I don't know how else to say it. I'm just going to say it plainly. He still had to have sex with Sarah. In fact, I kind of wonder if he ever used that as an argument with Sarah. Hey, Sarah, you know, we need to keep trying. Anyway, moving right along. You see, he's believing God for an heir. But that didn't mean that he didn't have a part in this process. Now, when he got in error is when he and Sarah decided that they could accomplish this without God. They took matters into their own hands, and Abraham slept with their servant girl Hagar, and Ishmael was born, and it caused them a lot of problems. And I want to tell you this, what God has put in your heart and what you're believing God for, you need to believe God and you need to put action to your faith. But be wise and be careful that you do not act in the arm of the flesh and that you don't, listen, leave God out of the equation. Now you do your part and you let God do the supernatural part in bringing it to pass. It's like the person who's single and believing God for a godly spouse. Now, I want you to know God can do anything. I mean, you could be sitting in the floor of your den praying, God, bring me a godly spouse, and they could knock on your door. But I'm just going to tell you that most of the time, you need to take some action. You're going to need to get out and meet some people. Maybe get involved in some activities and go to some things where you might just meet Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, right? But then if you decide that, you know what, this ain't working, I'm going to take some further action. And so you decide to do it the world's way. And you start going to the wrong kind of places and you end up settling. You just left God out of the equation. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we are God's fellow workers. You know, I just think that is such an awesome principle from the Word of God. To be a fellow worker with God. Now, I don't know what kind of co-workers you have at your workplace. Some are good and some are not so good, right? God is the most awesome fellow worker. He knows how to do everything. There's not anything that he can't do. And listen, when he's on your team, you can't fail. That's awesome. We are God's fellow workers. But understand the principle. We're working together with God. He can do it all by himself, but he's chosen not to. He's chosen to work together with man. And you see it all through the scripture. I mean, I could literally use 100 stories tonight because he works with man over and over and over. Now, I want to clarify again. There are certainly times when, by faith, we are waiting on God's timing. But so often, people end up missing what God wants to do because they fail to move. They fail to take action. You know, some years ago, well, when I came back to pastor at Grace 11, almost 12 years ago, the church had been planning on moving for some time and had a building fund. And that building fund was the first step, the first move, if you will, towards moving. But you know what? It wasn't enough to just have a building fund. No, we had to have a place to go, and we had to get rid of our old building. And you know what? I figured out that the old building was probably not going to sell until we put it on the market. Genius that I am, right? I'm just telling you, in that location where that building was, there were other buildings. In fact, some buildings that were had been nicer buildings and had gone downhill for 20 years and were never sold until they finally just got bulldozed. And in the natural, that could have happened with our facility. Now, I'll tell you, we priced it right, but regardless of pricing it right, it could have sat there for years and never sold. Here's my point. We did what we could do. We put it on the market. And guess what? God did the supernatural, and it sold in a very short time. And so then we're going to build the building. And I'm thinking, yeah, we'll sign a lease for 18 months to rent because we're going to have our building in 18 months. It took a lot longer than that. We were talking to builders, trying to find the right builder, trying to have a peace, you know. And I want you to hear this. You see, I'm trying to bring some clarification to this message tonight because you need to move forward by faith. There's action that you need to take, but you need to be wise and obey God. I'm not talking about just taking a blind leap. I'm talking about obeying God, but being willing to put action to your prayers and what you're believing for. And then in that process, we were looking for a builder, and we passed on this one. And then we would talk to this one. And I'd spend hours and hours and hours, and we'd investigate, and we just kept going through this process. But listen, we were doing what we knew to do. Eventually, we had a real peace about going with a certain builder, and this is the end product. And I don't know how you feel about it, but Carmen and I, every time we drive up to this building, we just go, wow, wow. Because we know that it is a miracle. And you know, and it, in so many ways, it exceeds what we could ever have accomplished in the natural. God works with us. There's a story about an old farmer who bought a farm, and he spent 3 years of hard work and money developing it, making it really nice. And one day, the local preacher comes by, and he says, wow, it's really great what you and the Lord have done with this place. And the old farmer said, yeah, but you should have seen it when the Lord had it by himself. And you know, I realize that there borders line on disrespect towards the Lord, but you know what? God does work with us that way. There's a part that we have to play, and we always give God the glory because He's the one that does the supernatural, but we do have a part. You know, this principle comes through loud and clear in Jesus' parable of the talents when He talks about three servants that were entrusted with a certain amount, and two of those servants took what they were given, and they used it, and they doubled it. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. One servant hid what he was entrusted with. He didn't do anything. He said, you wicked, lazy servant. And I'm just telling you that God expects us to work. He expects us to do our part. And whatever He has entrusted to you, that you need to use it for His honor and glory. Be willing to take action. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of David when he faces off with Goliath. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you haven't read it lately, you ought to read it tonight before you go to sleep. But Goliath, this man who was over 9 feet tall, would come out and he would taunt the armies of Israel every day. He would say, send me out a man. He wanted somebody to fight. And the Israelites were all petrified. They were so afraid. I'm sure that they were praying and praying and praying, but nobody did anything. God could have struck that giant down with a lightning bolt just like that. It would have been nothing to God to strike him down. How easy that would be for the Lord. That would have been so cool. But listen, God wants to work with us. We do what we know to do by faith, and he does the supernatural part. So this teenage boy comes along, and by the way, people that don't do anything usually criticize, and his brothers criticized him. But this young teenage boy comes along, and he is ready to go out and face Goliath. He does what he knows to do. He takes his staff, he takes his sling and some stones, and he goes out to meet this giant. He did what he knew to do. But I want you to understand this. He didn't go trusting in himself, in his abilities. No. He told that giant, he said, "You come against me with a sword and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord." And he told that giant, he said, "This day the Lord will give you into my hand. And I will strike you and take your head from you." See, he's working with God. He said, "God's going to give you to me, and I'm going to strike you and take your head." He did what he knew to do. He put that stone in the sling, and he slung it, and God took that giant down. Then David goes over and he gets the giant's sword and cuts his head off. I'm telling you, some of you got some giants you've been praying. "Oh God, please do something about this. Oh God, please do something about this." I'm just telling you, there may be some action that God is waiting for you to take. All through the Word of God, God uses people. He uses people to bring deliverance. He uses people to preach and bring repentance like Jonah did to Nineveh. All through the Scripture, he doesn't just do it anyway. Listen to this from Ezekiel chapter 22. It's 29 through 31. "The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, said the Lord." Listen. God says, "I looked for somebody to stand in the gap and there was nobody, so I judged them." You see, we like to think, "Oh no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we don't do our part." You know, it does matter. We have a responsibility. We have a part to play. You see, God does expect us to do our part. You know what we're looking at right now in our country? I hear so many people talking and talking and talking and so little doing. Now, I will tell you this. I am not a doomsdayer. I don't believe that judgment is coming upon America and we're all going to suffer. Listen to me. God will not judge the righteous with the wicked. Abraham proved it. But listen to me. In America, there's a whole lot of folks that are praying and believing and standing. And some who are standing in the gap and taking action. Be one of those. Be one of those that's sharing the gospel, that's helping other people get free, that's showing people the way, being light in this dark world. See, that's what we got to do, church. We got to be the one that is willing to step up, stand in the gap, and take action. Not just praying, Oh, pray. Pray. Jesus said, the harvest is ready. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. Lord, send somebody. Lord, send somebody. Not me, somebody else. No, if we're praying the Lord will send laborers into the field, surely then we will be ready and willing to go. I mean, who did he say this to? The disciples? And who went? The disciples? You start praying the Lord send laborers to the field, you will find yourself going. Amen. I mean, if you're praying in faith, send somebody, Lord, send somebody else. It doesn't work that way, does it? No, we have a part to play. You see it over and over. Moses goes to Pharaoh and demands that he let God's people go. Moses stretches the rod out over the Red Sea. Why did he have to do that? I don't know. I just know that this is the way God works, that he works with us. And our part may seem silly and little and like no big deal. What does that do? Nothing. Except when God's in it. And then it's everything. But we have a part to play. See, we got to be telling other people about what the Lord has done for us. We got to tell other people living in this time when people are so stressed out. We got to tell them about the peace that we have. A time when so many people are depressed and just down and just can't seem to get out of it. We got to tell them about the joy of the Lord that is our strength. See, we've got something to share. A time when so many people seem to be sick and have these illnesses, that chronic illnesses that just go on and on and on. We got to tell them about a healer. See, we've got a part in that, church. Now, if you're believing God, I just want to tell you, you have a part that God wants you to do something. I'm believing God for my neighbors to get saved. You need to be inviting them to church. You know what? We just did a mail out to the community. You know why? Because we're believing God for people's lives to be changed. We're believing God for this church to be full. So we got to build another auditorium. Amen. But you know what? We're going to put some actions to our faith. We're going to be doing what we know to do. And you know what? We as individuals have to do that also. We got to be willing to share the gospel with our neighbors. You say, oh, well, they won't listen to me if I preach Jesus to them. Well, they might listen to you if maybe you just ought to take them a dessert. Maybe you just ought to do something nice for them. Maybe you ought to, you see, show them the love of God first, but don't just do nothing. No, find a way to be used of God to make a difference. You believe in God for your health, your finances, your family, your job, or some other area of your life. I'm telling you that most often God expects us to do something, and he's going to do the rest. See, if you're believing God for better health, you need to pray about that. When you have better health, then you'll give God the glory because you'll know, well, it was God that helped me. Sometimes we have to fail a lot on our own before we really give God the glory. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You're praying for better health. Well, there's some things you need to do. You need to eat right. And you need to exercise. Well, no, I'm just going to pray. You know, as we get older, you know, when you're young, you can take health for granted a lot of the time. But as we get older, Carmen and I fight this battle more and more, it seems like. But we do our best. We're still working on it, believe me. We try to eat right. We try to exercise. We take those vitamins and do what we're supposed to do. But you know what? We know that we got to have God's blessing on it. It takes the supernatural, because in the natural, we could do all of that and still have all kinds of illness and even terrible disease and things can happen. But we're doing what we know to do, and we're believing God to do the supernatural. Now see, if you're believing God for godly children, you need to pray. Oh, that's the most important thing. You need to pray over those kids every day. But I got to tell you, there are some things that you're supposed to do also. And I'm saying to you, sometimes you need to see, you know, what do I need to do? I hope you're asking yourself, okay, I'm praying. What do I need to do? Is there something I need to do different? I'm just going to tell you, I mean, you need to take your kids to church. You need to discipline them properly. You need to train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You need to teach them to honor you, because if they honor you, then it will go well with them. Believe in God for blessing in your finances. Believe God. Also, obey God. You need to work. You need to give God his tithe. Just like a preacher, he's got to get that money. I'm just trying to help you. I'm telling you the truth. You need to do your best not to buy on credit. This could be a four-part sermon right here. I'm just throwing this out here that there's things that you need to do. You need to live within your means and try not to overspend. Simple things. You're believing God for blessing on your finances. There's things that you're supposed to do. You might need to consider a new job. Now, if you're going to find a new job and you're praying, believing God for a new job, let me tell you what else you might need to do. Take some action. Send out a resume and some applications. I talked to one, famous minister one time. I told him, I said, yeah, I'm praying about, you know, a position, a ministry position. I'm looking. He says, I said, somebody told me I should come talk to you. He said, now, don't send out resumes. That's the way the world works. You just pray, and God will just drop your name in somebody's heart. I know God can do that, but it's a whole lot more likely to do that when you're nationally known. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when people know your name, it's easier. I'm just telling you that God can do anything, but most of the time, it's when we're taking action, we're taking a step, and we're believing God does the part that we can't do. By the way, I sent a resume to a church. They got over 100 resumes, and somehow or another, their church board said, we all got your resume, and said, this is the one. See, that's God. But I'm just telling you that a lot of the time, there's action that you need to take along with your prayer. Anybody wondering how I'm doing? We got 6 whole minutes. We're going to make it. You see, sometimes when things don't go the way that we want, we just blame God. And we're disappointed with God. But I'm telling you, a lot of the time, there's action that we need to take. There's obedience that needs to happen in our life. And then God will do a miracle. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a story of a widow who asked Elijah for financial help. And he says, what do you have? And she says, well, I just got a little bit of oil. And he says, go borrow all of the jars that you can from everyone. And she goes and borrows jars. And then he tells her, now fill them with oil. And she fills all the jars with oil. God just miraculously multiplies what little oil she had, fills all of those jars, and then he tells her, now sell the oil. And God just abundantly provided for this widow. But she had to do something. And I'm telling you that in our personal lives, and even for us as a church, there are things that we have to do. We're believing God for a harvest of souls, for more and more people to come into the kingdom, be born again, for lives to be changed, people that have known the Lord to come back in close fellowship with God. And as we're believing God for that, you see, she had to do something, and she had to prepare for the blessing. The number of jars, the amount of jars she got determined how much oil she could have. And I'm telling you that we as a church need to be ready for this harvest. And we need to be expecting, not just praying for it, but expecting and preparing for it. You see, when new people come into this church, we've kind of had a little bit of a problem with, you know, a year and a half or so ago when we moved into this building, we had so many new people that new people were like, well, I'm a new person. I don't know anybody. And we had so many new people that we didn't have people to meet new people. So if you've been here for more than a month, we don't consider you new, all right? I'm just telling you, we need you. When new people come in, we need you to befriend those new people and help us build relationships with those new people. I'm also going to tell you that at the end of this month, we're going to be starting up our growth groups again. And I'm telling you, we as a church, we need that. It's a vehicle. It is a method. And by the way, it's very scriptural. The New Testament church went from house to house. Some of you are like, oh, well, you know, I need to make friends. I don't know anybody. Get in a growth group. Go to three of them. I got 3 minutes, 2 minutes. We're going to keep going, all right? I'm just telling you, this is a principle that you see in the scripture over and over and over, is that God moves and he does the supernatural, but he expects us to do what we know to do. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. You see, we do our part, God does his part. He will always be faithful. We just got to do our part and then trust him with the rest. I want to close with this story. The city of Samaria is holed up under siege. And there's four lepers outside. And they say, if we go into the city, they're starving there. If we stay out here, we're going to die. If we go to the camp of the Armenians, well, they'll probably kill us. But why should we sit here until we die? And so they got up and they went to the camp of the Armenians, and God caused that army to hear a great army coming, and they left all of their stuff. And so these four lepers, they go in and they take all the stuff that the Armenians had. And then they say these words, they say, hey, it's not right for us to just sit here and enjoy all this ourselves. We got to go back and share it. And here's what I'm wanting to say to you. Church, don't just sit there till you die. Be willing to get up and go. You know what? Sometimes you miss it. Sometimes you make a mistake. But sitting and doing nothing is always a mistake. No, we got to believe God and take action. And I'll tell you, in the blessing of God that we have enjoyed, we need to share it with other people. Well, stand with me, and we're going to pray and dismiss, all right? Father, I just thank you for the dreams, the visions, the hopes, Lord, that you've put in the hearts of your people. And Father, I pray that every one of those things that's of you that will come to pass this year in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you will lead and guide our footsteps and show us the way, and that you might be glorified in it all, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. Have a good night.